Before we begin this episode, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Without your support, we would not be able to make this podcast possible. If you want to support us, feel free to join our Patreon, and you can find the link in the description. Right now, I'd particularly like to give a humongous shout out to all of our patrons in the BBF, BFF tier. That would be Anna C, Anna H, Cassandra G, Christian G, Cynthia P, Delia, Elizabeth O, Eveline, Catlin, Marisol S, Laura R, and Nini. All right, y'all are amazing. Thank y'all so much for your support. And again, you can find the link to support us in the description.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is your host Cassandra, coming to you from El Paso, Texas.
And I am Ruben, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles for quite possibly the last episode in Los Angeles for me, TBH. She's moving.
Oh my god, wow. Our podcast is going to be like Texas to Oregon now.
I know. I'll be living with white people. I'll be eating some avocado toast or whatever they eat over there. I'm scared. TBH. Stop laughing!
You're gonna go be amongst the fish people.
Girl, Oregon has a Nazi problem, like America does, I guess. But in Oregon, them bitches be, like, parading all the time. Like, every other week, like, the Oregon news is like, Nazis, you know, visited the Walmart again, together, in their little capes. Like, the little ghost costumes. Like, it's wild.
It is wild, yeah. But it's also, it makes sense because that is where we met.
Oh my god, officially. Yeah, it is. I forgot. We met in Oregon. We met in Portland. How does it make sense for me to go live with them? Oh god.
Because, you know, now it's like the podcast is like where you are, where it started. You know, it kind of originated in this weird
way. My god, I'm going to be in the Aslan of this podcast.
And I'm still holding it down over here.
In you know? Little Aslan, little Texas, little Paso, El Pasito. Oh, you know what?
Chucotown, baby.
Pasito Tuntun. How have you been?
Shitty as fuck. Shitty as fuck. I usually look forward to cancer season. I feel like it's, you know, I don't know. I usually enjoy cancer season. It's chill. It's kind of like homey, you know, but no, cancer season hates me. It's been so mean to me. The very first day of cancer season, I got sick. Oh, no, it was like towards the end of Gemini season, but I got sick. Luca got a cold. I got a cold. It was like, I don't know if it's because I got COVID last year, but like now when I get sick, it's like so bad. Like, I don't remember ever being sick this much. And because I got sick like 2 months ago too. And it's just like a cold, and I get tested each time because I have to rule it out that it's not COVID. And it's just like, oh, it's just a regular cold, but it feels so much more than that. And it lasted for like 2 weeks, and I almost like lost my voice. It was just like, I was just at home, and then like a few days after, you know, I got better, my car flooded. Like, It's like monsoon season in El Paso. So it's like also my favorite time of year. And also, I guess that's why I like cancer season, because I love the summers, the rain in the summer. And I look forward to that. But this year, it's been like constant, like more than we usually ever get. And it just gets flooded. So it's not just rain. It's like actual flooding. And I was driving home. I got caught in the rain and my car just stopped. And like there was water coming up to like my door, and it was just like this panic moment where I was like, I don't know if I should get out of my car, if I should stay here. Like, it's just been a lot. So my car, my dad went to go save me and try to push my car, but that didn't happen. So we had to like walk. We just had to like abandon my car and we were walking, and I felt like I was in a movie, like walking through the water all dramatically. It was just a lot. And anyways, my car
is... Have you seen Mi Familia? You were J-Lo.
It was like that. Yeah, it was like J-Lo. And anyway, my car hasn't worked since, so I'm kind of like, it's been a lot. Like, I don't know if my car's like, if it's going to be able to be fixed, or if I have to get a new car, and like the financial burden of that. And it's just been a lot. And then something happened that I don't want to share on here, just personal things with like my son and like his birthday coming up, and like actually his birthday's tomorrow, so just a lot. It's just been a fucking lot. So no, I have not not been okay, but you know, what can I say? I don't know, you know, shit happens. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But what about you?
Yeah, no, shit happens.
How have you?
I've been anxious about my move because I'm really nervous about moving to Oregon. It's going to be the first time I live in outside of California. And it's going to be the first time in like, you know, half a decade that I live in a primarily like white area again. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, I'm not,
especially I think now.
Yeah.
I think more than, you know, before, maybe.
Yeah, you know, especially to Oregon, where like, you know, foods are throwing down all the time. So
yeah,
I'm just, you know, I have to move for my master's program. I've been doing it remotely, but now that COVID is over, supposedly according to our government, they want me to like go to in-person classes. And so you know, I'm going to take it as an opportunity for growth and professional development and networking or whatever. But I'm scared. Like, I get really anxious about, like, A, moving is already, like, difficult. But, like, moving fucking from L.A. to Oregon is a whole other monster. Looking at that, I also had car troubles and that I had trouble buying a used car. Yeah, we were talking earlier about how mechanics tend to kind of take advantage of, you know, folks who, you know, are queer or women or feminine, and, you know, kind of display like a sense of naivete when it comes to mechanical work or like car auto work. And I feel like I was gonna go buy a used car, but then they quoted me like, this needs about like, you know, more than $2,000 of work. And I'm like, that's about the cost of this car. Like, why the fuck would I do that? And then you had a similar troubles, right? Because you needed like new parts and they were charging you out the ass for them.
Yeah. I usually, like, I'm very lucky that my stepdad, you know, my dad, he's very good at like cars, but he doesn't live here. He works out of El Paso, so he's not here all the time. And I'm very lucky to have him, but when he's not around, it's like, I don't know what to do. And if he wasn't in my life, like, I would probably have to just figure shit out by myself or ask for recommendations. You feel like you can't question people because you're like, well, they might know more than me. Yeah. Like, I don't, it's like the worst. I hate it.
Yeah.
And anyway, like, I took my car to, like, I got it towed to a mechanic, and he was like, oh, you know, like, it might be like $1,000, $2,000 for this thing, and it might not even work if I fix it. And I had to tow it back home because I was like, well, I'm not going to take that chance. I'd rather like have someone else look at it. And this other person looked at it, and they managed to do more than this guy. And of course, this mechanic is like, you know, one of those mechanic guys that you call and they go to your house and they're not all like, you know, I don't want to say that they're not professional. It's just like me taking it, getting it towed to like this mechanic where you have your own business and you're, you know, like you have clients, and like this person that we just know word of mouth, that's like, hey, that's like, this person can do it for you and they'll come out to you and they're not like all about that bullshit, you know? So those are the people you got to go to. But no, yeah, I hate it. We need more like We need, like, queer mechanics. We need, you know, the tops. Get your shit together. Go out there. Be a mechanic. We need our butches out there. Actually, I feel like there are butches that are mechanics. I feel like I would trust them with anything.
I feel like in the Bay, there was, like, a collective that was, like, butches for... Because I know there was, like, a butch, like, a barber shop, like, collective. And I'm pretty sure there was a butch, like, a mechanic collective as well. But yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you for rubbing your dad in my face. Some of us don't have dads.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You've been waiting to do
that. I have. No, just kidding. My dad was useless in the mechanic department. This is
dumb. I mean, my real dad is too, so it's okay.
But yeah, no, so yeah, just anxiety about moving and anxiety about, you know, well, no longer anxiety about having a car because I didn't end up getting the car because of all the mechanic business. But
maybe you'll get one in Portland.
Maybe I'll find one there. You know, I'll find a man. Maybe I'll find a man who will sell me the car and then out. Two in one, bitch. We're only getting our MFA so we can find better husbands. but yeah, no, this episode we wanted to talk about Pride Month. Now that Pride Month is over, we're like almost into August. We want to talk about Pride Month, and I think we want to celebrate queer wrath this month because y'all were acting wild, and not in a good wild. Not like partying and throwing your thong on stage during a Peaches concert. No, not that.
That we encourage all yes, the time.
You know, do what you need to do. But what you don't need to do is to be discoursing on Twitter.com about shit that is so ridiculous. Like, who, you know, what we should be wearing at Pride, right? And whose eyes are watching it at Pride, right? Like, so, yeah. So things about Pride that have bothered me, I think because... This is the first time in a year that we've all been allowed, some of us have been allowed to go out into the parade and go out in public and blah, blah, blah. I feel like we just had a lot of pent up frustration and it really came out this year, right? So there was a lot of discourses that we'll get into. Did you want to start with the one that pertained to you or did you want to start with the other one?
You can start with the other one, actually.
And the big one, the headliner of all the discourses was, does kink belong at Pride?
I've been off Twitter, but obviously I saw that going around, and I just, like, who, did someone make that, like, was it an article, or, like, how did this, you know what I mean? Like, how was this, like, this discourse start, like, just...
I think, like, with all...
Straight people or was it actual like
yeah, like with a lot of ridiculous ideas, it started in a conservative side and then just horseshoed into a progressive area, right? So the whole no kink at Pride thing has been a conservative talking point for ages. When I first heard it on Twitter, I was like, are we dragging some conservative? But no, it was like some gay or trans kid, you know, probably no older than 22, 23, talking about how, you know, they were tired of like twinks in jock straps for G-strings and like what they thought kink at Pride was, right? Like people in harnesses and shit. And when I was reading that, I was like, this reminds me of someone, but I can't put my finger on it. And then I remembered that I've had this fucking conversation with my conservative, like, family members before. You know, they'll say shit like, I support the gays, but I don't know why they have to go walking around in their underwear at Pride or blah, blah, blah. Like, literally have had this conversation with, like, my MAGA brother-in-law, right? So, like, Honestly, I think it was just that conservative talking point leaking into, like, progressive minds, right? I think it just got recycled so much that at some point somebody was like, actually, yeah, this sounds really radical and, like, progressive. And not question, like, what and what side of radicalism that would fall under, right? And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, some low-key psyop shit, but also maybe getting used to, like, growing up in an age where, like, you know, seeing queerness on TV, seeing sexuality on TV is just, like, so taken for granted and in the media. But also, like, I'm gonna say something, like, I have been going to Pride since I was, like, 13. I have never seen actual kink at Pride. Like, what are these people talking about? Like, what is kink at Pride? Like, some kid walking around, like, some, like, twink walking around in their chonies. Like, somebody walking around with, like, a dog mask and a leash. Like, because, girl, if you want to see kink at Pride, y'all bitches better go to Dory Alley. Better go to Folsom Street Fair. Like, that is, like, trust me, you will not question whether or not there is actual kink at Pride when you go to an actual kink, like, parade. Because, you know, at, you know, those San Francisco festivals, which are all, like, adult only, and they're all in the street, like, bitches be fisting. Like, there's literally a stage where, like a big, you know how, like, in Pride, like, they have, like, a dance stage where, like, there's, like, the Backstreet Boys come dance or whatever. In, like, Dory Alley, there's literally, like, a stage where, like, the whole day people are just, like, oil wrestling, right? And, like, in several stages of nudity. Like, there's literally, like, people fucking in the streets. Like, it is wild. Like, people being walked around in a dog leash and, like, you know, fully, like, urinating in public. Like, it is kink. That is kink. Not somebody, you know, in a, like, a weird stage of undress, right? Or, like, a random stage of undress. So, I don't know. For me, it's just, like, why was it so easy for folks to fall for this, like, conservative talking point? Yeah.
No, for sure. And we were talking about this too. Like, I am not a kink person. I'm sorry. You should know more. Like, I don't know if kink person is wrong, but I'm not into that. Like, that's not my
community. I think that's not my thing. The term kinkster.
Kinksters. I'm not a kinkster. But it's like, just when I saw that, I was just like, all right, like, what? Like, it just, yeah, it did feel like, I didn't know where it was coming from, but it did feel very respectable, and it felt also homophobic in a, obviously, in a way, especially if it's coming, like I said, like, from straight people, conservative people, because the whole notion is, like, the way gay people are painted, right, as, like that image of, like, quote-unquote kink, and, like, all gay people would do is fuck each other and be sexual, and that's all that we are. And especially gay men. And so it's like, if that's what gay people want to do, they're not supposed to do it, because then they're like, oh no, the straight people are gonna, this is like, you know, that whole stereotype thing, because then the stereotype is real. And it's like, what if it is real? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, Pride is to celebrate your sexuality, your identity, your gender, your partners, your love for community, for you, like, whatever you want that to be, and it's empowering. And so for someone to be like, this is okay, but that, I don't know about that. When it, like, I feel like Pride and, like, queerness is, like, against heteronormativity, so against patriarchy, against gender norms, against what's socially acceptable, right? And it might not look that way, you know, for me it looks different, for someone who's into kink it looks like that. And, like, why are we trying to police what that means to everybody if people are not being hurt? And then this whole thing about, like, trying, like, the way people use children, as always, as, like, when it's convenient for them to be like, oh no, think of the children. And it's like, this also, this homophobic thing, because it ties into, like, gay people being predators, mm-hmm. and gay people being, like, child abusers and molesters and all this stuff. And, like, we're, like, as if we are hurting children, right, by just being around them, by, like, that we are purposely, like, people that are into kink are purposely going to go up to children and be like, let me rub this in your face. Like, that is not what is happening, you know? Like, if there is kink at Pride, then that is, like, probably, like, in a separate thing. If someone is walking around in a thong or whatever, like, Pride, yes, like, I think Pride is for families. If you have children, you take your children to Pride. But it's also this thing of, it's fucking Pride. Like, they're like, I don't know. And Pride events look different everywhere. I just know, like, there's, like, Pride events for families, and then there's Pride events, like, where you go to the club. And I just feel like people just love throwing, like, this whole children thing around when it's convenient, putting, like, children's safety into play when, like, gay children exist. Like, there's gay people who have children. They're, like, it's not, I don't know. It's just, like, the whole thing is so homophobic, really, and, like, respectable and, like, just trying to make it this thing that it's not at all, you know?
Yeah, the respectability politics really jumped out, TBH. For me, I think about, like, how this is the only time I've really ever heard about, like, children being brought up in relation to Pride. Like, there was so much discussion about, like, children might see, you know, kink at Pride, and not enough talk about, like, you know, what if this is the first time a trans kid sees a trans adult, a trans elder? Mm-hmm. Like, I think about, like, you know, how a lot of us go into our first sexual experiences as teenagers or whatever, and we don't know what the fuck we're doing, and sometimes we end up more traumatized and, like, than satisfied because there's no queer sex ed, right? So we don't mm-hmm. have any idea of what the fuck sexuality looks like. And I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said that, like, you know, you focus on the part of like, this is an expression of sexuality, right? Like, and we are celebrating sexuality as part of Pride Parade. That's what it began as, right? Like, it was mainly organized by a lot of, you know, fringe sets in the queer community, right? Who were kinksters. You know, back when Pride wasn't really what it is now, right? And by that, I mean that it wasn't this corporate thing, like mainstream thing that all these quote-unquote allies want to get, you know, their fingers in. And so I think, honestly, and I know this is not gonna vibe with some folks, but I immediately think about the damage that the line love is love has done that. To the movement and to queer, like, radicalism, because, like, bitch, I haven't fallen in love in a while. Does that mean that I don't deserve respect, that I don't deserve to be prideful, that yeah. I don't deserve rights? You know, being transgender has nothing to do with, like, who you love. It's a gender identity. It's not a sexuality or anything like that, right? So, like, do trans folks not deserve respect because, you know, their identity has nothing to do with, like, love of other people? Like, I also think about, like, aromantic folks and asexual folks. Like, where do they fall mm-hmm. in this love is love bullshit? Like, so I just think about, like, how love is love was used, honestly, to push, you know, gay marriage. And I really want folks to consider, like, not only, like, the legacy of, like, who got thrown under the bus for gay marriage, right? Like, immediately my mind goes to Jenice Gutierrez, right? Who famously protested Obama when he passed gay marriage in the U.S. You know, for when she protested for trans immigrants, specifically those held in detention. I think about, you know, Black Lives who are queer, right? Who are trans as well. And what does marriage mean to them when we are living in a police state that routinely murders them without any justice, right? I consistently think about, like, what does marriage mean for immigrants of all nationalities who, you know, are forced to come to the U.S. because, A, their lands are, you know, being manipulated and pillaged by the U.S., and also who then in their trek here are harmed not only by everyone in their way here, but also when they enter the U.S. border, all the trauma that happens, right, with denial of entry, with detention, with, you know, separation of families, right, which is continued under Biden and under both liberal and conservative presidencies. So I think I need folks to step outside of this love is love rhetoric, of this coupling rhetoric, which it's fine, like, it has its uses, but I think at this point it is being weaponized against us, TBH. I think this focus on coupling, on the on marriage as a sign of respectability, I don't want to say has gotten to the point where it's throwing everybody else who does not fall into that mold under the bus, because it always has. Sylvia Rivera, one of her last speeches that she gave in 2000, I want to say, was pushing back against the human rights campaign, saying essentially that they focus too much on marriage and not enough on like homeless trans people, on like people with HIV, on incarcerated people, right? And that's because, you know, marriage is an institution, and not shitting on anybody who is married or who wants to get married. Shit, I want to get married someday too, because I'm part of the problem. But like, marriage is an institution that says this type of relationship is okay and this type of relationship is not, right? And this type of relationship gets these benefits, and anything else that does not fall into these very strict confines does not deserve to be respected by the state, you know, and thus not represented in, you know, in anything, in the media, in government, and so forth, right? So tying all that back to kink at Pride, when we focus so much on this, like, respectability of, like, what would they think of us? It's just like, well, let them think of us. They're going to be bigots no matter what. They're looking for excuses to already be prejudiced against us. Whether I'm wearing a thong, whether I'm wearing a full suit out in public, out at Pride, it does not matter. You know, the issue is that Pride exists, period, for conservatives, for people who want to find a problem, right? Be more concerned with the fact that corporations keep warming their way into our parades and thus keep inviting the police into our fucking parades than you are about what some twink is wearing or whether, like, some girl wants to show her titties out in public, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
all of that. Yeah, that was all perfect. my thoughts, exactly. Now I forgot what I was going to say, because I was just like, yes.
I'm just pissed at this, because, like, I'm not even a kinkster. Yeah. Like, I am, like,
yeah,
so vanilla, like...
Me too.
Like, demisexual, yeah, like... But I also come from, like, you know, I had, you know, a radical drag mother, right? I come from elders that really had to fight tooth and nail to be represented. And it's just like, for me, I'm just like, am I seeing kind of the fruits of their labor being wasted, right? And it,
that's like assimilation.
It is.
And respectable. And I like, there's a few things, like, that you mentioned again. I'm glad you mentioned it, because you mentioned it in the beginning of, like, corporations being at Pride. And now, I feel like Pride now is, like, definitely a mainstream thing. Capitalism has taken over corporations, you know, aside from the fucking cops. Like, all, like, in June, all, like, Target and Walmart, like, everybody has the rainbow flag. Everybody's, like, merch, rainbow merch, which, like, they clearly do not know gay people, because we don't wear that shit. just like, now it's like, yeah, now it's just like capitalist, like a capitalist thing, and then now it's like more mainstream, it's everywhere, so like people are going now, yeah, it's just like it's all of that. It's like feeling, it's like Pride doesn't belong to us. Every year it gets more and more like foreign, if that makes sense. Like, it's just like, and now with like this whole no kink again, it feels very homophobic as fuck. Like policing, like what is allowed, what is not allowed, and like, oh well, the Wells Fargo float is going to be here, so don't wear a thong. Like, who the fuck? And then I'm glad you brought up like the love is love shit, because I fucking hate that shit so much. It's like, yeah, everything you said about like who does that apply to, who does that erase, but also like just that quote, that slogan, whatever we want to call it, is like, that's all gay people are, that's all like we want, is like to love who we love. Like, okay, we're gonna do that anyway. Like, let's talk about like workers' rights, let's talk about housing, let's talk about like it being, having, raising a family, adopting kids, having children as gay people, and like what that looks like in the hospital, what that looks like in schools, like navigating that. Like, let's talk about like trans people, let's talk about homeless people, sex workers. Like, the thing that you mentioned, like, with marriage, right? Like, a lot, like, one thing that leaves out, too, is, like, disabled people and gay disabled people who, like, don't really have marriage equality, because once they get married, they lose their benefits that they need to survive. No, but even if it's, like, this little last amount, that's, like, a whole nother, like, problem, right? Like, that disabled people get, like, crumbs to live off of, and then if they choose to get married, like, then they no longer qualify. So that's not marriage equality. Like, So when we're talking about marriage equality, like, okay, let's talk about that. But what does that look like for disabled people, for migrants, for different marginalized people? But also, that's not all gay people are. Like, yeah, like you said, like, I'm like, I just, like, hate that my existence is, like, based on, like, all I want to do is love. Like, if you're stopping me from doing that, you're not stopping me, bitch. Like, homophobia has never stopped me from loving somebody, you know? Has it made it, like, have I experienced homophobia because of it? Absolutely. But I'm still going to do it. Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, I'm not worried about straight people accepting me, about, like, none of that. Like, respectability bullshit. Like, it's just... I hate it. Yeah. I just hate it. Like, I hate it so much.
Folks deserve rights and respect regardless of whether they want to get married or if they just want to spend mm-hmm. the rest of their life giving the strap to the nearest biatch mm-hmm. that's looking hot exactly. as fuck. Like
exactly. This whole, and I think we've mentioned this, like, probably in another Pride episode, of, like, just the stereotypes of, like, that are placed on gay people, you know? It's like that, like, that we're all, like, the kink thing, that we're all just, like, sexual beings 100% of the time. We just want to do sleep with everybody, which, you know, some of us do and want to, and that's not a problem. But, and then it's, like, this very, there's, like, another, I feel, stereotype that's, like, this, like, passive, like, gay people are just, like, passive fairies, and, yeah, like, that love is love, like, all we want to do is love, and, like, why don't straight people accept us? Love is love. And, like, gay people are so nice and we're not angry. And it's like, I hate that. I hate that shit, because it's like, when gay people, you know, speak up, you know, like, especially, like, times that I've, like, spoken up against quote unquote allies, because I hate allies so much. Like, I hate, like, in the context of, like, LGBTQ, like, I hate that they take up so much fucking space, and it's weird. It's so weird to me that it's so accepted, like, that people are, like, I don't see that when, like, within other marginalized groups. I don't know how to explain it. Like, for example, if I'm having, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example.
Like, women's issues, like, you're never like, what about men? Like, feminists are not like...
Yeah, like, men are like, I'm an ally. Like, obviously, like, I think a lot of people say that, like, white people say that about being an ally to people of color, to black people, you know, like, they say that, but, like, to actually take up so much space, like, straight people do, like, they do not straight do that. Straight cis people. Like, straight cis people specifically, like, I'm like, the audacity, like, the nerve, and, like, people allow it. Like, I remember, like, there's, like, this scholarship, like, through the people that do Pride in El Paso, and they had posted, like, you know, like, scholarships for, like, LGBTQ and allies, and I had commented, like, why would you give a scholarship to a straight cis person, like, a quote-unquote ally, instead of, like, just queer kids? Like, how does that make... And they're like, we appreciate... Like, I just... I hate fucking allies. Like, I don't give a shit, like...
She said no allies.
I hate you all. No allies, and I
no allies at Pride. That's how I feel about King of Pride. Yes, no allies at Pride, though.
No allies at Pride. Like, no allies. No, like, just taking up so much space. Like, the whole, like, they changed, like, their Facebook avatar. Like, I'm an ally. Okay, like, shut up.
Okay,
like,
straighty, trying to take up, like, space in my.
Okay, straighty. I feel like it's, and it it just seems so performative, because I'm like, what are you actually doing for queer people, like, year round? Like, what? And I'm not talking about, like, oh, you know, I support gay marriage. I'm talking about things that I just mentioned. Like, how are you actually showing up for fucking queer people? You know, a lot of queer people, especially trans people, like, can't get jobs. Yeah. They live in poverty because they cannot get jobs, because it's against the law. But everyone's so worried about, like, gay marriage and, like, Wells Fargo being at the fucking parade. Like, please, like, I'm so, like, tired. It makes Pride, like, not, like, before, you know, also I was younger, but, like, back then I would love, you know, like, yeah, foam party, like, let's all make damn. Out, you know, and it was fun, but, like, now, I don't know, it's because I'm older, because, like, every year it just gets worse, but I'm just, like, I don't feel that, like, what Pride is supposed to be. It's just, like, it's not that way now. And another thing is, like, speaking of, like, for me, as a, like, bisexual, as a bisexual, one of the first things, like, literally, like, the first day of, like, June 1st, like, one of the first things I see is, like, biphobia from queer people. And I'm, like, hate saying this, but, like, I obviously experience, like, biphobia and homophobia from straight people, but it's a usually always from queer people, like, that I experience the most biphobia from, and, like, I fucking hate that. And so at a time where it's, like, I should be enjoying pride and celebrating pride, and however I do that, it's, like, instead, I just go online and I see all these, like, non-bisexuals, like, gatekeeping pride from bisexual people who are specifically, like, cis women, femmes, and, like, bisexuals who are dating, like, same gender partners, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's the shit I see. And it's, like, y'all are so worried about, like, no kink at Pride. Apparently no fucking bisexuals at Pride unless, like, you're dating someone that everyone else is, like, okay with. Like, that's what y'all are doing instead of gatekeeping cops at Pride. Yeah. Like, we're... Yeah, like, instead of that, like, you're policing, like, bisexuals. When I do want to add, as always,
A-cab,
that, like,
all cabs are bi. All cops are bi.
All cops are bi.
That's what they be saying. That's why they let them in. You can only come, bisexuals can only come to Pride if they're cops, apparently.
Bisexual. That, like, the first, like, Pride celebration was started by, like, Brenda Howard, who was a bisexual Jewish woman, who was a sex worker, who was poly, who was into BDSM, who was, like, this radical, like, activist who remained until her death. And it's, like, you know, we don't really hear about her. Like, we hear about Stonewall, and Stonewall is so important. And then, you know, to commemorate Stonewall, Brenda Howard, like, organized, like, the first Pride, and then it kind of started after that, you know? And so it's, like, y'all are really gatekeeping Pride, like, bisexual people at Pride when it was kind of started by a bisexual woman, and then, like, transphobes are literally, like, being transphobic when Stonewall was led by, like, trans women. Like, y'all are whack. Y'all are whack as fuck. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, fuck Pride. Like, I'd rather just celebrate bi week. Mm-hmm. And I hate that I feel that way. But it's, like, I'm tired of, like... And every time I say this, or, like, anytime anyone speaks up about it, it's like, oh, there goes bisexual men again, acting like they're so oppressed, and, like, they're the most oppressed people. And it's, like, the cycle where it's, like, I can't even say shit because then I'm making it about me, or I'm trying to be oppressed, when literally all I want is for y'all to mind your fucking business and shut up. Like... I don't understand, like, people, like, just constantly trying to invalidate bisexual people, trying to invalidate people's experiences and identities. Like, I don't understand. Like, if someone says they're bisexual, and let's say they're not, let's say they just, you know, as just someone saying bisexual for whatever reason, like, is it really hurting you? Like, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm like, how are y'all that invested in, like, just coming after bisexual people all the time? Like, I don't fucking get it. I just don't understand. Like, if I want to fuck five guys and a woman and then a non-binary person and then end up with a man, like, how does that affect you? I don't understand. Like, I especially when I'm not just, like, out here minding my own business, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're bi? How many women have you fucked? Like, oh, you're bi? Well, yeah. Well, we're not going to make space for your partner at Pride, when it's like, no one fucking said that. Like, this whole thing of, like, oh, bi women want us to include their... bi women who are dating men, specifically, want us to, you know, include their... or cater to their boyfriend or include them. And it's like, I feel like a lot of you make this shit up just to say it, because I swear to God, like, I'm sure there's, like, bi women out there who think that way, but, like, I... honestly feel like, you know how, like, right-wing, like, conservatives make, like, fake things, like, the left wants to cancel Santa Claus, and it's like, nobody said that. Honestly feel like you bitch. Yeah. I honestly feel like people do that with, like, bisexual, like, memes and, like, tweets and stuff, or maybe it's a joke and it's satire, but people don't take it that way and they run with it, and it's, like, so annoying. Like, I want to laugh, but then I'm like, they, like, it's not funny because I know that you bitches actually run with this shit.
Yeah.
You know? And if I did want to take my fucking boyfriend or random man that I'm fucking or dating to Pride, like, I can fucking do it. Like, no one is forcing you to sit in a healing circle with me and this guy. No one, like, especially at Pride, it's like a fucking event. It's not like we're at a fucking workshop or, like, at a fucking intimate setting. Like, what the fuck?
A processing circle.
I'm just like,
Yeah, like, I'm so fucking annoyed. And it's just, like, not everyone that goes to Pride is straight. Like, there's trans people who are straight. They're not queer. But why, we're not out here policing them as we shouldn't, right? Or, like, if two non-binary people are at Pride and you don't know they're non-binary, right? Like, are you going to go and, like, it's just, like, from the people that are, like, don't assume my gender, don't assume that every, you know, that I'm like this or like that. Like, obviously we shouldn't assume that, but all of a sudden, like, all this shit that you all say flies out the window when we're talking about bisexual people. Like, this whole straight passing bullshit, I'm sorry, I don't give a shit if you guys get mad, like, that it only applies to bisexuals, apparently. Like, lesbians, oh, they cannot be straight passing. Like, gay men, they cannot be straight passing. Only bisexuals. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I just...
That does remind me. No straight passing cisgender gay man at Pride. I think another thing that bugs me about this discourse about, like, excluding bi people is that, again, there's a lot of discussion about, like, who bisexual people are fucking, and not enough discussion about the fact that bisexual women encounter the most domestic violence. Right?
I'm sorry. Because even when I say that, then they're like, well, who's forcing you to be in a relationship with men? As if, number one, it's just men doing the abusing. And I've actually experienced more abuse I've had relationships with women than with men. And I'm not trying to make a point right here of, like, women are more abusive than men. Obviously not. But it's, like, from both. But I get that. Like, that it's because we're in relationships with men. So, of course, just like when I say, you know, bisexual people have more mental health. Our mental health is more, what is the word? Higher rates. And then I get all these DMs that are like, it's because, like, when they did this study, there wasn't an option for queer. So a lot of people felt like they had identified as bisexual. So it's not really like there's always this invalidation, like, all the fucking time. Like, anytime I say fucking anything about bisexual people, it's always like, you're wrong. And, like, you're erasing queer people. And it's because, like, no one's telling you to date men. And, like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I interrupted you. I just, like, get triggered, like, I hate people.
Yeah,
I just, like, block people now.
I mean,
I can't.
I'm sorry about that. Like, I know that you've also survived, like, I mean, you're part of the statistic, right? Like, unfortunately. And I also think about, like, not only that statistic, but the statistic about, like, bisexual men who experience, like, the most loneliness, right? And because of erasure, right? Because we always... Even in these discussions about, like, who you should bring to, like, or, like, bi women, like, bringing their male partners to Pride, it's like, all right, do bi men not exist? Like even in this... Even in the exclusion conversation, the ridiculous exclusion discourse, they're excluded. Like, that is wild to me. Right? And, like, bisexual, non-binary people apparently do not exist, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it is... is wild.
That, like, you know, also the whole, like, bisexuality's, like, inherently transphobic and itty. Like, I'm like, you know, binary people, binary, non-binary bisexuals exist, trans bisexuals exist, and I hate you all so much. But no, yeah, and I just want to give a special shout out to bisexual men, because bisexual men are top tier, TBH.
Yeah, like, call me bitches.
Yeah, they are. They really, like, I hate, like... People that are like, straight women specifically, that are like, I would never date a bisexual man. I'm like, just say you're homophobic and go. Just say you're biphobic and go. Because y'all are missing out. Because, like, bisexual men are just, they're the best. They're great in bed. They are. They're like men, but they're not, like, straight. I'm not saying they're all, like, perfect and they're not shitty. Like, they're still, like, men.
The bisexuals that I have dated are very selfish in the bed.
They're still men, yes. They're still men. I honestly love bisexual men. And, yeah, they do also get, you know, the whole, like, bisexual men are just gay. It's, like, bisexuality is, like, the transition between, like, being straight and gay, like, when you're figuring it out. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's here.
You know what's funny is that, like, you know, well, first of all, let's talk about the whole, like, it's a phase ridiculous shit. Like this whole this whole bisexual is a phase ridiculous discourse shit that's like old as time. Is that like, okay, so where does that exist in our understanding that gender and sexuality can often be fluid? Right? Mm-hmm. Like what if somebody had a moment where this is what they wanted to engage in, right? They wanted to engage in sex with different types of people, but then decided later on, or realized later on that, like, you know, those experiences were fine, but they might enjoy sex with a specific gender, or, you know, that, and that might end up labeling them as hetero or, you know, gay. Because I think about how, you know, when I first came out, I was like, bisexual seems like the word. And then later, you know, identified as gay and then queer, because and understanding the definition of bisexual, the more expansive definition, like queer sometimes falls under that umbrella too. So it's like, I wasn't wrong even as a kid, right? Like at like 10, 11, when I was figuring things out. So it is like, what did I not go through a phase, and were those and were those phases not valid? I'm asking, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that we need to really, look at these so-called faces as part of a bigger picture, right? And part of this spectrum that we bring up when we're trying to educate others. But I think as a community, we often fail to really engage in the realities of what that spectrum and what that fluidity, how that is manifested in real life.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm done ranting. Like, I'm done ranting about that.
But that also reminds me about, like, there's a lot of discussions about, like, what about the children? And for me, I think about how there's literally, like, family pride and teen prides in a lot of spaces that have these bigger festivals. But they're so severely underattended and underfunded because they don't get the type of attention that the bigger parade does. And I wonder what it would mean, how we would react as a community if we reinvested some of our energy into that, into volunteering at a booth for family pride, you know, volunteering as a security at teen pride, right? Volunteering as a mentor even, or as a babysitter, right? Like, what would that look like if we reinvested this energy into those different types of pride, so that we don't feel like, you know, not like being like separate but equal shit, but like being like, what would it mean for everybody's needs to be specifically met, right? Because I also think about how sober pride was very important for some of my friends growing up. Like, I grew up, you know, at the tail end of the rave scene, and a lot of my friends were like, by age 19, 20, they were already, I've done enough drugs, I've drank enough alcohol, like, I don't need to be doing this, but I still want to be part of the community. And how liberating going to sober pride was, but also how they still felt like, you know, more could have been done to make that a bigger thing, right? And so I think about that a lot. I was like, why aren't folks having discussions about all these other things that, if they don't exist in your community, like, that there should be concerted effort to make happen. Because otherwise, we're not looking at our community as, you know, a collection of beautiful individuals who each have their special needs. We're looking at it as this, like, type of person, right? That doesn't really help anyone out, unless you fit into this very specific mold that often ends up excluding people of color, disabled people, and trans people, TBH, specifically if they're not white trans people. So I think a lot of our energy needs to go into that, you know, starting now. Because I think something else that folks don't realize is that pride doesn't just happen all of a sudden, you know, in June, you know, we're making it happen. Like, if there's a pride in your city, there's a big chance that there is a pride committee that you can be part of, that you can join in their organizing efforts to make sure that they're paying attention to your needs, right? So, you know, if the pride situation is something that matters to you a lot and you want it to be inclusive and you want it to look a specific way, then I would suggest finding what your pride committee is in your city and going to their meetings. I used to go to them when I was an educator and I was in charge of youth pride, actually, in the peninsula area in California. So I have, like, first-hand experience knowing, like, how, you know, underfunded that was because they did it. We couldn't bring in the corporations, right? So I think folks have to start imagining, you know, what it would look like for us to reinvest our energy so that everybody feels catered to, and also what it means like to function under a different budget that doesn't include and doesn't pay any mind to corporate sponsorships, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that said, we are going to go to break and we'll be right back. Join our Patreon, bitches. All right, and we are back. Did you want to do the last section? What made you less bitter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say from my...
Luca?
Well, at the beginning of... Yeah. At the beginning of this episode, I started off with, like, everything bad that's happened. But something good that has happened... I got braces right after, like, in between all this happening. And I've been kind of wanting braces for a while. I've been like, yes, no, am I too old? Should I just... I honestly thought it was more of like a... How to explain it? Like, appearance thing, right? I'm like, well, my teeth, like, they're not hurting me. So it's more of like how I, you know, like a cosmetic thing, right? And so I'm like, is it really like... I mean, I've made it this far. Like, I should just... Like, having braces on adults is embarrassing and, like, all that. But then when I started, like, researching, like, braces and, like, everything it does for you, like, my breathing problem is from, like, my bite. So once, like, you know, I'll, like, it's wild because when I you guys can't see, but I have breathing problems and I always thought, like, where, like, I thought it was, like, my, like, I have a deviated septum because it's not asthma and I don't know why I can't breathe. And when I realized it was because of my bite, and like now when I move my bite like the way it's supposed to be, I can breathe and it's wild. And like just like things that I don't like about myself, like my chin is due to my bite as well. And like the fact that I've never really been able to floss so well is because like just a lot of things that I thought were like just random or normal. And I'm like, I need braces immediately after that. Like, yes, this is the right decision for me because it is about my health. And anyway, so when my car got flooded, I was like sad because I was like, now I'm not gonna be able to go, you know, because I have to, I go to Juarez because I don't have insurance. And anyway, I'm talking a lot, but yeah, I would have not gotten braces if I did not live here because it's really expensive. And even if you have insurance, like, or Medicaid, like, they rarely cover braces unless, I don't know, it's like one in a million that they'll approve your request for braces. So anyway, yeah, I don't know, I feel like this year I've just been trying to focus on myself, like my health, my mental health, my just myself. I feel like especially after the pandemic, I mean, we're still in a pandemic, which we should continue talking about, and like, you know what I mean? Like, during the lockdown, I should say, it took a lot of my mental health. And before that, it's just been, like, I'm a mother and I work and I feel like I don't really have time for myself. And so, I don't know, for me this year, I've been just trying to focus on my health. So I guess that made me less bitter that I was, like, I thought I was, like, it's not going to happen because now I don't have a car and I can't go. But, you know.
Aw, you look really cute.
So now I have braces. Then. Thank you.
Do you get carded? Do you get ID'd more?
No.
I had braces growing up. It was at some point, you just get over, like, it. And then as soon as I took them off, like, oof, my self-esteem shot through the roof. And then it went back down. But...
I know. I keep telling me, like, I'm going to be super hot in 2 years. You don't even know.
But, I mean, I still really, like, you know... Now I'm, I guess I've stopped smiling as much in the last few years, which I'm trying to get back into, but I think I started getting more, like, aware of, like, aging in the last few years, so I don't know, so I'm trying to, like, deprogram that you know, ageism a little bit.
Yeah, we should have a conversation.
Yeah, bitch, we're old.
I hate that too. Like, I hate that, like, you're like on Twitter too, especially they're like, oh, you're 25, your life is over. I'm like, yo.
Bitch, I didn't even start, I didn't start feeling like I knew what I was doing until I was like 30, like 2 years ago. We've had this podcast for 4 years.
I didn't,
Shit.
Yeah, we're barely, like, I feel like I'm, like, barely starting. Like, I've been waiting to be 30, and I feel like this is, like, where your 30s is, like, where you actually discover yourself. 20s is, like, you're having fun, you're younger, you're dating, you're, you know. But 30s, I feel like you have a more sense of who you are and what you want. And I love, I mean, I'm 32, so I, you know, it's only been 2 years in my 30s, but I love it so far. Yeah, me too. So.
You know, the thing that's made me less bitter recently, and I know I'm part of the problem, but I've been going out to the clubs, girl. And to the bars again. And just to be around, like, a bunch of queer people, just having fun, getting drunk, like, that has been so, it's made me feel like a human again, TBH. You know, I feel like I just was just like a fucking potato plushie for the last year or something. Just sitting around in my house waiting for, I don't know, who the fuck knows what, because there was nothing to do. And so, like, being able to go out and just see a bar fight. I saw a bar fight, like,
I've been dying to see one. I haven't seen one in a long time.
The first week of July, I went out to the bar and, you know, the girls were fighting.
I love it.
So, yeah, going out to the clubs is feeling really good. Yeah.
Yeah, I only go to like one bar. It's like my karaoke dad bar, and like it's so funny because everyone else is like, why do you go to this bar? I'm like, I'm tired of being around, like, I don't want to sound ageist or anything, like I don't feel like I'm like in my 20s anymore where I want to dance or like be in a club with like loud like dance music. Like, I don't do that anymore, and that's just like, I feel like I just want to sit down and have a drink and watch people karaoke. Like, that's literally all I want to do with a bunch of dance dads around me.
Oh, the, like, girl, that bar always looks empty as shit. Like, that's a huge dance floor.
No drama.
For
no drama. Yeah, I love it though. It's actually always packed.
Really?
But it's just, yeah, there's usually a lot of people. it doesn't look like that, but there is a lot of people that go there. But it's like an older crowd. Oh. And it's like, I just like love it. And last time this grandpa was hitting on me, but that was okay. yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I always go to different places. Just, I don't want the feds to catch me. I just like seeing what's up at different places. So I always go everywhere.
I know, but you're like also like in a bigger city. Like here, it's like,
yeah,
like the same people, like, you know, you're gonna run into, and it's,
I mean, no, not only like LA is gigantic, so there's like a whole West Hollywood like gay thing. I don't really go there, but it exists. And then there's downtown gay, downtown LA gay, and then there's like local gay, like in the different little, I don't want to say boroughs, but like little suburbs or little outliers of LA, like Compton and Bell and Montebello. And then because LA and Long Beach are right next to each other, so then there's the whole Long Beach scene, so there's just a lot of scenes here, so I'm always like seeing what's up and seeing what's
yeah,
yeah.
Sounds fun though.
Yes. So that is all for this episode. Thank you for joining us for our annual LGBT Wrath Month extravaganza. I hope you tune in next episode for a conversation on child trauma.
Yes.
All right, y'all.
So we will catch you all soon. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Before we head out, we want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons once again, especially those in our I Know Her Level tier. And that would be Abigail D, Aranya, Ames T, Alana F, Alejandro M, Ali T, Amy, Bianca, Brenda C, Clara P, Chrissy J, Danielle V, Erika A, Gianna R.O., Jen A, Jocelyn D, Justine, Kimberly, Layla G, Linda M, Lizbeth K, Magdalena S, Miguel B, Nancy M.M., Ronnie L, Sarah M, Tate, Vanessa, Yasmin, and Yulisa. Y'all are amazing. Thank you so much for supporting us and really believing in Bitter Brown Femmes. All right. Love y'all a ton. Bye.